Rider Nation, are you ready?
Guns across the middle for Pinkton. Touchdown Riders. Masoli gunning over top, and it's picked by Blaise Brown. Five-man pressure quickly. Little hit screen to Schaefer Baker. Still alive, 15-10. Schaefer Baker is going to score.
So far this season, the Riders are unbeaten against Eastern Division teams, and they look to continue that trend in Montreal. It's the Alouettes and your Saskatchewan Rough Riders on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the Source 620 CKRM.
There's a chill in the air at Percival Molson Stadium in Montreal. It is the Riders and Alouettes. Both teams 6-4. The Riders looking to add a second consecutive win to their total. Derek Taylor with you live in Montreal. Luke Mullender joins us a little bit later for Access Communications, Sask Milk, the Wireless Age or SaskTel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneers, and Salford Group. In this pregame show, we'll hear from the quarterback, Cody Fajardo, head coach, Craig Dickinson, the new punter, Corey Vedvik, about just how much he admires the work that John Ryan has done in his career, plus Dan Clark on an important topic for the Riders tonight. How are they going to deal with a relentless blitzing Montreal Alouettes defense? High atop the stadium in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. He joins us for every pregame show, and we send our sympathies out to Glenn Suter, who had to sit through yet another Edmonton Elks game last night. Suits, this is me hugging you across the nation. That was bad.
It wasn't good for Elks. It wasn't good for their fan base. Yeah, it just, you know, I think it exposes that there are some real internal issues. They just didn't play together. I thought Taylor Cornelius took a step back. You know, to me, he was progressing. Even though he didn't get the result just yet, he was 0-for-3 as a starter going into that game last night. I thought that he was progressing a little bit each game. In the first game against Winnipeg, his first start, he threw a pick six late and had a fumble that ended up in the end zone. Adam Big Hill scored. There was that one. Then he threw his first touchdown in his second start, and there were three touchdown passes in that game, but they lost on special teams to Ottawa. And then in the final one, he eliminated the interceptions, and I thought, okay, this young quarterback is learning, he's progressing. But last night, now he didn't get a lot of help. He just looked like he took a monster step back, and I think it's they got to take a look at Nick Arbuckle as soon as they can get him ready.
Yeah, Farhan Lalji was on with us on the Sports Cage on Wednesday. Said he believes Arbuckle would be in the second game against the Riders. I think when the Riders themselves, after this game is said and done, when they get a chance to look at that Edmonton Elks team, I think they're going to like their chances in Edmonton next week. Last week, the Riders snap a two-game losing streak to the Calgary Stampeders and win in Calgary. In your mind, Suits, how big a win was that?
Monster win, monster. He was a huge win for a lot of reasons. And, you know, we had some fun with the Dickinson brothers and their family, you know, Thanksgiving table and all that. Had a little fun with that. But, you know, that Craig Dickinson wanted it for the team. But I think for Cody it was big. You know, you get if you can get rid of a mental block that is a team, or, you know, even if it's a play or lack of confidence in a receiver or something, you gotta shake those things, or else they sort of fester and then they'll rear their ugly heads at the wrong time, like a playoff game. So, I think for all those reasons, not to mention the edge in the standings. I mean, that's the most important part of that win. And, you know, looking at home field in the semifinal, but beyond that, it was kind of, for Cody, it had to be, okay, we can beat this team, and we feel good about it. And I'll take you back a quick example. Mm-hmm. Back in, and I hate bringing this up because it's not about the old days and it's not about our old team, but back in 1989, the Edmonton Eskimos were 16-2, and many were saying at that time that they were the best team ever assembled in Canadian Football League history and had one of the best records all time at 16-2. We knew we had beat them in the regular season. So we go into a playoff game, and everyone was saying we were going to lose badly in that game. I mean, all the picks were, some of the spreads were over 30 points, if you can imagine that, in a Western final.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in a Western final, over 30 points as a point spread is crazy. And, you know, lots of real confidence talk from the locker room in Edmonton. But we knew we had beat them. We had beat them in the regular season. And we went in there with great confidence. And that matters. So this is what I'm saying about this Saskatchewan win in Calgary.
It has to be a confidence builder. And if nothing else, they never have to be asked again. Speaking of Cody Fajardo and Craig Dickinson, well, how come you haven't beaten the Stampeders? Because that one is done. Not a lot of changes for the Riders tonight. John Ryan on the six-game injured list, replaced by Corey Vedvik. It'll be his CFL debut. Mitch Picton goes into the starting lineup for Kian Schaefer-Baker. So not a ton on the changes on that front. One thing in last week's game that I really want to see again tonight, Suits, is what they were doing with Jacob Dearborn and Lucchese Pirafoy. One was nominally the safety, the other was supposed to be his backup, but they were safety Sam safety. That was wherever, seemed to be wherever Pirafoy thought he could play best, he would go there, and Dearborn would play the other spot. I was fascinated to watch it, and I feel like you could explain this pretty well. I feel like stuff like that, one, puts your best player in its best spot, but two, can kind of goof with an offense.
Yeah, it really can, especially a younger quarterback. I mean, if you're playing against Ricky Ray, you know, he will have seen that many, many times and know how to attack it. But when you're playing against Matthew Schultz, who I'm impressed with but is still real young, it can cause confusion. It can cause a quarterback to hold the ball a split second because he's not quite sure what he's seeing in coverage. So that's the advantage of it. Now, the downside of it, and there's always a downside, but the downside of it is when you're moving your safety down and you're rotating linebackers back into the secondary or vice versa, or bringing your halfback down towards the line of scrimmage and blitzing him more and things like that, you can get caught in those blitzes where your disguise puts you out of position. And you also have to be sure that those DBs that are coming down and playing in the box, they're ready to put their nose in there and get their nose dirty in the run game and stopping the run. And you know with this Montreal team that they're going to try and pound it with William Stanback, especially if the weather gets a little sloppy, and it sounds like it's going to be there. You would know better than me. but DT, I love the rotation. I love the exotic looks defensively. It's got a lot of great benefits. But if they're going to pound the ball, you need some good run stoppers at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and that's the case where we may see that five defensive lineman package that they debuted last week as well. You mentioned William Stanback, the runaway league leader in rushing, more than 200 yards in last week's game. His yards after contact are bonkers. Tell me what you see when you see William Stanback, and maybe even a little bit of what you don't see when you see William Stanback. I have a thought in mind on that front.
Well, I love his pad level. He's so solid. He reminds me in the core area, the trunk and the, you know, your stomach muscles and your legs. He reminds me a little bit of Andrew Harris's sort of build, so because he's so thick through the middle, and I don't mean fat, I mean athletic thick, where your center of gravity is nice and low, and you're so powerful as you drive through the hole and explode through the hole. So one guy, even your best tacklers, your best linebackers and your best tacklers, Micah Tights, these guys, you can't do it by yourself. I think he has a very different body type than a Mike Pringle, but playing against Mike Pringle, you just couldn't bring him down by yourself. If you tripped him up and got low enough, you could trip him and cut him down that way. But the problem with that is once you commit to a low tackle like that, you can be hurdled, and it looks pretty silly. So it's kind of a bow your neck, bend your knees, get ready for contact, because he's looking for contact, not looking to avoid it, and then hope that your friends come in and rally, and you just got to hang on, especially if you're a DB, and he's got a little bit of momentum through the line of scrimmage, and now you're the DB trying to bring him down. Grab on, hold on as long as you can, and wait for your friends to get there.
God. But the cavalry will soon be with you. The one thing they don't really do is stand back. He's only got 10 receptions for 56 yards this season versus 133 carries, so maybe something in there. Suits, final one from you. If you were facing a young quarterback, as the Riders will and as Jason Shivers, the defensive coordinator, is planning for, give me something you might do early on in the game just to see what this young quarterback is all about.
If I'm Jason Shivers, I go with guys at the line of scrimmage, and we're either blitzing or we're showing blitz and then dropping out. But it does two things. It fills the gaps against the run, especially on first down. So you're better off against stand back. But number two, once you're up on the line, whether it's DBs or your linebacking core, and you're up close to the line of scrimmage, and you send that pressure, you're going to make Matthew Schultz read the blitz and hit his blitz beaters, which are often those quick slants or the quick post to the middle of the field if the safety is blitzing. And you've got to make that guy make that split-second decision. He's got to get it out of his hands in a hurry. He knows he doesn't have the protection to block everybody, so there's going to be a free man coming at him. He doesn't know quite where that's going to come from. So it gets him uncomfortable. He starts bouncing around in the pocket, and that's when young quarterbacks make mistakes. So I would send pressure. I'd fill the gaps against the run and make him beat you with the big explosion play in a one-on-one scenario and put a little bit more pressure on your secondary because you're calling more blitzes.
Love it. Glenn Suter joins us every pregame show, joins us every week on the Sports Cage as well. Suits, thank you. Enjoy the game from home tonight.
I'm going to sit back and relax. You know, I might even have a beverage or two. And I'll listen to your call too, buddy.
Yeah, wash the taste of that Elks performance out of your mouth with something strong. Let's just say that.
Exactly.
Golly. All right. Agreed. Agreed. Two Elks games coming up for the Riders, and after yesterday, I couldn't feel better about what's going to happen after this. We're here in Montreal for Young's Equipment. The cooperator, see Jeremy Saxby at Southside Financial Services in Regina, Advantage Crop Protection, and Wood River Controls. We are 52 minutes to kickoff. A very, very light rain just starting to fall. Much different than the last time we were here in Montreal. We'll talk about that when we return. The Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor, is breaking down today's matchups with players, coaches, and all the in-depth stats. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Yeah. 49 minutes from kickoff here at Percival Molson Stadium in Montreal. Riders and Alouettes on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Luke Mullender has been singing nonstop for the last 2 hours and 35 minutes. I don't know if he's trying to achieve a world record or just celebrating a great college football victory for his Michigan State. Is that the...
I'll tell you what, man. It's going to be a great night on campus. The couches are already burning in Cedar Village. Spartan Village is a fire. Oh, man, I'm mad I'm not there. But great win for the Spartans there against Little Brother today. Jim Harbaugh's 3-9 against us. That should be enough to get him fired. But you know what? It really hyped me up to now focus on this game. Like, I'm in a football mood now, and I'm feeling really good about the contest we're going to see. I think that it's going to be the tale of two defenses, right? DT, these defenses are almost identical when it comes to the pressures and sacks, but they're very different schematically, right?
Very much so.
I think that D-line coach Ben Olsen for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders has done a great job with our D-line, because you're getting a lot of your sacks and production from the pass rush, right? Whereas you look at the defensive line with Montreal, they're good too, but because of the pressure system that they run, right, they're becoming free because of the blitz, right? They don't have to win as many one-on-ones. And one of the things that you look at, I think, is a guy like Chris Aki, right? He's got 6 quarterback sacks as well. It's like he's been a defensive lineman. He's been all over the field. So very, very much looking forward to this game, but again, great win. Go green. And Little Brother remains Little Brother.
Michigan State Spartans 37, Michigan Wolverines.
What a game.
33. As I mentioned, a little bit of rain falling here. Last time we were here, it was Just under 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Rain, lightning, and all of a sudden, an hour later, the game was canceled and shortened, and the Riders pulled out with a win. The 2019 trip to Montreal, wild in a couple of ways. First of it was because quarterback Cody Fajardo was not anywhere near healthy.
Yeah, I had some rotator cuff damage. I couldn't throw the ball over 30 yards. And got a huge dollop of Jesus, and we got the game called quickly in the third quarter, and we found a way to win without, I don't even think we scored. Maybe we kicked a field goal, but a couple field goals. I know our defense played out of their mind, and our offense did absolutely nothing, and we won the game. So one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of was that one, and I'll remember that one for the rest of my life. And then we had a bye week after that, and I got healthy.
In 19, when you found out that that game was ending early, what was your feeling? What were your emotions?
I said a prayer right away. I said a prayer because God was looking out for us. I know God doesn't care about wins and losses, but right there, it felt like he did a little bit for that one. It was a cool moment. And part of the reason why was we were going on a bye week. And so a lot of guys were, especially guys who lived on the East Coast. And at the time I was living in DC, we stayed there overnight, and we were able to fly out of Montreal to go home instead of coming back and then flying out. So we had some team camaraderie after the win. Guys went out, you know, had a beer together because we had a bye week coming up, got some good food. And it was one of those moments that helped bring our team closer together because we knew we kind of got away with one. And then we also got to enjoy each other's company after a win in an amazing city. So it was a lot of fun. And then you got to go home. I got to go home and see my wife, which is always a great feeling for me. So it was one of those trips to remember.
17-10, the Riders a winner that night in 2019, thanks to touchdowns from Charleston Hughes and Earl Okine. Wherever you are, sir, we appreciate the chance to call you on a touchdown. Luke, about 30 seconds, what do you remember of that game besides mass confusion about what is happening with this rainstorm?
Yeah, I remember being frustrated because I think I put myself in the guy's shoes. I've been in an overtime game in Calgary that didn't get resolved, right? And you come out with a win, but, I mean, it's almost a wasted trip, right?
Yeah.
So here, let's hope they don't waste the trip. But you and I were talking about last night, DT, the actual trip in general. And
right,
the Riders,
let's hold on to that
yeah,
for a
let's
second.
Hold on to that.
But that's a big
that's
point.
Gonna, yeah,
it's
going to be key to
that. Luke's got a real point about this trip east for the Riders. We'll hit that up a little later in the pregame show. 44 minutes to kick off on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about a big change to the starting lineup. Mitchell Picton in. Kian Schaefer-Baker is the backup. What led to that? We'll hear from the coach, Craig Dickinson, when we return for Claws of America, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. Back to Montreal in a minute on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
Rider Pride Worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620CKRM.com.
42 minutes to kickoff here on the campus of McGill University. It's the Riders and Alouettes on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network. 2-6-4 teams waging battle tonight. Not a ton of changes on the Riders roster for this game. One in the starting lineup is interesting. Let's say that. Regina's finest Mitchell Picton comes back onto the roster, goes into a starting wide receiver spot. Kian Schaefer-Baker, who has been starting for some time, goes into a backup role. Here's Coach Craig Dickinson on why Picton's onto the roster and starting instead of Schaefer-Bake.
Just the staff decision on offense. They're both going to play a lot.
So rotational based on certain series?
The offensive staff felt like Picton deserved to start this week, and so they're going to start him.
So Dickinson didn't have a ton to say about it, get pressed too much about it. But Luke, it seems strange, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think you need to focus on what he didn't say. And what he didn't say is the offensive staff didn't think Schaefer-Baker deserved to start. Right? So, for whatever reason, they're switching out guys on the roster. Right? Because, I mean, if you lined them up in terms of production and overall usage, you couldn't make a case for Mitch Picton other than the fact that he's been really, really consistent. And again, I think that Mitch Picton, he just needs to continue to do what he's done his entire career with the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah.
When the window opens, he goes through it. He makes a play. And so when you're on here today, you know, if you get two reps or you get 200 reps. Just go out there and do something with it, right? And if you're shave and bake, best way to get yourself out of the doghouse, right, is not focus how you got in there, but
yes,
you do the same. If the ball comes your way, you catch it. And more importantly, since there's only one ball, if it's not in your hands, what are you doing outside of that, right? Are you blocking for your guys when they get the football, right? Are you going out and are you looking like you're going to get the ball on every play, even if it's a run play,
mm-hmm,
right? You got to, like, this being a professional deal isn't just focused in on when you actually get the football thrown to you. You got to be a pro 24/7, right? So, again, Picton, good opportunity here. But for whatever reason, I think Shafe and Bake's in the doghouse.
Yeah, Shafe and Bake, one catch for 22 yards last week, 33 catches this season, 449 yards and a touchdown. He is the second leading rookie receiver in the Canadian Football League, and he's, in fact, the second leading Canadian receiver in the Canadian Football League as well. But it is Mitchell Picton's time tonight. We'll keep you abreast as to who's playing how much, see how that story develops. We're 39 minutes to kick off for Degelman Industries, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Bronc Beer. Now available in Saskatchewan. We'll check in on the injury report. It remains with the Riders having 17 players on the six-game injured list, by far the most in the Canadian Football League. Receiver Justin McInnes, he played last week or was on the roster last week. He comes off. He is ill. It's a non-COVID illness. He is on the disabled list. Ailey Buka, Ricardo Lewis, Michael Pinckney, and Matlin Riley all on the one-game injured list. The pregame injury report for Saskatchewan Construction Safety. Association members pay $50 for most construction safety training courses. 38 minutes to kick off. We'll hear from Dan Clark about what to do this relentlessly blitzing Alouettes defense. That's next on the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays at 4 with Derek Taylor on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Hey, Rider Nation, this is Sean Kleisinger. It's time for Did You Know? Did you know new Riders punter Corey Vedvik once punted a 92-yarder as a member of the Marshall Thundering Herd? It was during his senior season in a game versus Old Dominion. The punt traveled 67 yards in the air. In fact, people who have seen Vedvik punt in person have said Corey might have the strongest leg ever. After bouncing around in the NFL, the Norwegian native will make his debut for the Riders tonight in Montreal. Did you know for Gowan Canada, the perfect herbicide for your canola this fall is Fortress Microactive, combining the action of both groups 3 and 8. It pays to fall apply.
Yes, Corey Vedvik on John Ryan off the roster this week. He's on the six-game injured list. Coach Dickinson saying he's going to miss the rest of the season after suffering a really bad ankle sprain last week against Calgary. We're 35 minutes to kick off here in Montreal. Montreal Alouettes defense leads the CFL in sacks. As Luke mentioned, they blitz relentlessly. We'll spell out some of the numbers in the pregame show and as the game goes along. But we wanted to take that to Dan Clark and say, Dan, you're a veteran center. What's this Montreal Alouettes defense all about?
They are getting after the quarterback. That front four, well, front three, front four, whether they're playing a D lineman at a joker or, you know, what they got going on, that defense is doing everything they can to create havoc across the league. And you know what? It's going to be a big test for us as a unit up front and as an offense that we need to come out and play our game and continue, you know, rolling with what we did. It wasn't a perfect game in Calgary. So it's just continuing to go against a good defense and continuing to have those things that, you know, is going to make us successful in Montreal.
By my count, Montreal blitzes the most of any team in the CFL, and it comes after Calgary, which blitzed the least of any team in the CFL. Is that an adjustment for you? Is that a difficult adjustment for you and protection game to game?
Well, I think it's more of an adjustment for the center in that point of view. There's a lot more going on that you need to think about. You need to put us in the right direction with certain things and be able to help everybody out. But when it comes down to it, we have to be able to adjust to everything. Yeah, the biggest thing that, you know, we're working on is just being able to handle what we can see and handle what we know.
That's Dan Clark about how they'll deal with this Montreal defense. Luke, they blitz on half the snaps that they face the most in the Canadian Football League. Yeah. What do the Riders do with that? What opportunities does that present for the Riders, perhaps?
Well, I mean, one of the things you obviously do is you focus on things like blocking for the quarterback, but not necessarily up front, you know, whoever's in between the tackles. So now a guy like William Powell, you have to hope that he understands where his assignment goes, because when teams blitz, the offensive line is going to leave somebody free. That's on the quarterback to get the ball out before that somebody gets to the quarterback.
Right.
Right. But chances are, right, Powell's going to have to pick somebody up. Right. That's just how blitzes work. So emphasis on running backs and tight ends and fullbacks blocking effectively and recognizing which guy is their guy to block within the assigned play. I think that communication up front, right, I'd be concerned if this was this offensive line's, you know, 1-4 game, right? But I mean, this offensive line now has played together for a while, or at least the younger guys have. So I think that communication is obviously to be emphasized, but I think that it's manageable in this situation. I doubt they'll have to deal with much crowd noise because of the numbers of people that the government allows at the games here. So
yeah, and the weather it's tonight.
Yeah, again, it's all about execution, right? And if you're a wide receiver, and if you're a guy that, you know, has the quote-unquote hot route, right? Have your eyes up. Be ready to catch the ball. The wide receivers are important here because they've got to identify.
Yeah.
Right? They've got to identify which side the blitz is coming from and whether or not they're the guy that needs to adjust. Right? So it's going to be interesting.
We'll talk to Cody Fajardo about that a little later in the pregame show. He performs particularly well against the blitz this season. That's coming up on the Rider Nation pregame show. For Bear Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, SaskTel, AgCo, the Rough Rider Children's Hospital Foundation's Lottery, and Spreads.ca. 32 minutes from kickoff. The Riders and Alouettes on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio, the source, 620 CKRM.
It's laying right there for the Riders tonight. Their ticket to the playoffs. They can't assure themselves a home game in the playoffs, but they can assure themselves a spot in the final six. With results in Toronto going the way they are, a Riders win should put them into the West semifinal. But you've got to get through a Montreal Alouettes team that is really improved over what they last saw in 2019. 2-6-4 clubs. The Riders coming off a big win in Calgary. Montreal coming off a dominant performance from William Standback, something the Riders' defense will need to contend with tonight. Conditions in Montreal just spitting some rain on and off. Currently 11 degrees here in Montreal. Wind out of the northeast at 17, gusting to 29. Has been affecting the field goals in practice. We'll talk plenty about that as we continue on the Rider Nation pregame show. Next up, it's Coach Craig Dickinson about what their defense has been able to do. Cody Fajardo on how to contain these Montreal blitzes and so much more. We're back to break for Seedmaster, Battery Depot by CAA, Special Blend by Weiser's. Luke Mullender back with me on the other side on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The voice of Canada's team worldwide. Listen online anywhere on the official Rider app or 620CKRM.com.
25 minutes to kick off here in Montreal. Riders and Alouettes on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. As we mentioned, big win for the Riders in Calgary last week. And we saw a lot from Jason Shiver's defense. Five defensive linemen in the game at one point. Rotating players in at virtually every position, they had backups. And Luchez Purifoy and Jacob Dearborn just switching spots, it seemed, play by play during the game. Here's head coach Craig Dickinson on exactly what allowed that to happen.
Well, that's Coach Shivers. He deserves credit for that. I just watched just like you for the most part. A lot of it's personnel. You know, decisions that like who wants to guard who, and some of it's down in distance and just matchups. So, you know, we're going to do that moving forward. The nice thing is the way Coach Shivers teaches that defense is everybody has played every spot pretty much. He moves guys around all the time. So we feel like we can use guys at multiple positions. So it's not just he's a Sam and only a Sam, or he's a safety and only a safety. We feel like we can move guys and interchange them. So you'll see that with more than just those two, I think, this next week.
So, Luke, the Riders showed real flexibility last week. As you look around the league, Winnipeg's done it. BC has done it, where they go, this is a running down. We're taking out our small Sam linebacker. We're putting in a bigger one. The Riders did that last week with a defensive end instead of, say, an A.J. Hendy. Mm-hmm. Is that important tonight against William Stanback, or is that just a way Shivers is trying things out?
Well, I think so, right? I mean,
would it
you
help,
know
I guess?
That William Stanback is going to get a lion's share of the offensive carries or touches. So you've got to figure out some way to stop this run, right? I think that that's – and the one thing about having something go well for you in a previous game is that it's on film. Right. So now the opposition that has studied you for a week understands, okay, well, this is what they're trying to do if you see this look, right? So now that it's been on film, it's going to be interesting to see how much they incorporate it, right? Do they fall in love with it, and do they say, well, we're going with this all the time? Who knows, right? I think that the one thing that you're risking, though, is that if you continue to make those out-and-out substitutions, personnel-wise, right, from down to down, it does get you in trouble. And one of the things that Montreal might counter with is quick game, right? So regardless of how successful they are with William Stanback on the first down, right, let's say they only get 1 or 2 yards, then going on the quick, right, and pressing the pace doesn't allow the Riders now to substitute in and out, right, and get their quote pass linebacker back in the game versus their run stopping defensive lineman.
Yeah, fair.
So again, it's just going to be how you navigate that situation, right? And you know, we opened this show talking about Michigan State being successful, but we saw it a lot in that college football game. Is the Spartans? We went with pace. We went no huddle a lot of times, and it caught Michigan 3 or 4 times. They were penalized for trying to substitute in and out. So what we learned from that with the Riders is, hey, it's okay to manage your personnel groupings. Just make sure that it doesn't hurt you. And again, the Montreal Alouettes now have seen it on film.
Right.
So they know what the Riders are trying to do. Right. So last week, it was a bit of surprise, I guess, for Calgary. Right. Oh, this is something new. Here's how Montreal's been watching it all week.
Yeah. If it encourages Montreal, if you put a fifth defensive lineman in there, you take out a defensive back, essentially, and put in Pete Robertson.
Walter.
Hey, maybe Montreal decides they're going to throw more.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say, right? Like, hey, you know, if you hear them all of a sudden change, then that's where, as a defensive lineman, you got to have your ears up. As a linebacker, you got to have your ears up.
Yeah.
Because that's when you hear different things, right? So if you're going throughout, you know, the first quarter and they're on the regular cadence with this 5-man front, right? And the things are going well, you know, you hear Reno Reno or Rabbit Rabbit, right? The minute all of a sudden you hear Moccasin, right?
Right.
Or you hear something really strange that the quarterback hasn't said, that's when you've got to be like, hey, alert, alert. Right? They might be shifting in and out here. So,
I like it. Rabbit and Moccasin and Omaha and Harbaugh.
Well, so Rabbit.
Harbaugh.
Rabbit for pass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Moccasin, which I just thought of, but makes sense. Moccasin goes on your foot. You run with your feet. Running game. There you go.
I like it. The things you learn. Listen to Rough Rider Football on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network. We are 23 minutes away from kickoff. Next up is Riders quarterback Cody Fajardo on how he's going to handle a team that blitzes so relentlessly as this Montreal Alouettes team has done. We will point out Fajardo has actually been really good against the blitz this season. That is coming up. We are here for SaskTel, Nick Service, Farmer's Edge, and Easy Bids Farm Auctions. .com. Back to Montreal in a moment on the Cooperative Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays from 4 till 6:30 on The Source, 620 CKRM. Time for One Big Number.
One big number for this game is 49%. Montreal's defense loves to blitz. In fact, they bring an extra rusher or more on 49% of pass plays. That is the highest rate in the league by a big margin. It is especially noticeable in second and long situations where they blitz at almost double the league average. How Cody Fajardo and the offense deal with that will determine a lot about tonight's game. One Big Number brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. 21 minutes to kick off in Montreal. Riders and Alouettes. Here is the quarterback, Cody Fajardo, on how they can handle a team that does choose to blitz quite so much.
The risk you run as a quarterback when you play a team that pressures as much as Montreal does is holding the ball worth the reward of, you know, getting a 12-yard gain, or is it worth the reward of throwing it 3 yards and hopefully getting 10 yards on after it, or get it out of my hands and make a play, right? So that's what I have to make. Those are the decisions I make, and that's why the team pays me to make the decisions of, is it worth it? The first thing Coach Moss told me when we came into this week was, you're going to get hit this week, and you're going to have to stand in there and deliver the ball. And you guys know me by now. I'll never shy away from getting hit, and it and just settles me into a game. But I fully go into this game expecting to have to stand in the pocket and take a shot to throw it into one of their vacated zones for the big play. And that's what I'm expecting. And I know our offensive line is going to do an incredible job like they do every week. But I'm going to have to take some shots where it's not on our offensive line of why I'm getting hit. It's just because I'm holding on the ball a little bit longer to get maybe that bigger play down the field.
One of the complaints there was from Fajardo, from us, about the games in Calgary was, hey, when they're able to drop 8 men in coverage, those windows get pretty tight. What Cody talked about, they're opening up and there's more lanes for you. This season, when he is blitzed, Fajardo, passer rating of 96. When he is not blitzed, passer rating of 88, with many more turnovers. Fajardo, he said, I'm willing to take a hit. I mean, he's going to have to, but it presents opportunities that weren't there the last 3 weeks.
Well, being willing to take a hit and actually being smart enough to understand that you shouldn't be taking hits in a blitz situation, right? Like, we don't need any heroes right now, right? If you're willing to stand in there against a blitz and take a hit, I respect that, right, theoretically, but Cody needs to get the ball out, right? The minute your quarterback waits on something bigger downfield in a blitz is the minute you get hit and the fumble comes, right? Ball security becomes an issue. So he needs to understand here today that although he is willing to take a hit, his first read off the blitz, that's the read he needs to throw to. It's not, hey, I'm gonna ignore this first read and wait for Shaq a little bit longer.
Right.
That's gonna get them in trouble, that mentality.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to take what the defense gives you. And a lot of the times, especially with the defensive strategy behind Montreal's blitz, like, they're going to want him to throw short, right? Like, don't wait. That might not be there.
Right.
Because they're going to be there. They understand what Cody's going to want to do, right? They're going to let him take the first one because that'll be the shorter play. It'll essentially move the sticks. Not sure how much it will.
Yeah.
But at the same time, man, they're going to be understand. I mean, just put it this way, DT. This team is 9 for 47. 19% in attempted big plays. Attempted plays over 20 yards.
Yeah, oh yeah.
9 for 47. Don't
interceptions are plenty.
It's not the day to start waiting on the big play.
No.
No.
Yeah, it's going to come. He's going to – Chris Ackie – we're going to say Chris Ackie off the left edge. Here he comes. Cody throws into the blitz because someone will eke in behind him, or he's going to get busted in the ribs. It's just going to happen. I'm interested, and I was interested to talk to the guys this week because you are – for 3 straight games over 4 weeks, you had a Calgary team which blitzed 16 times on 114 dropbacks. That's a lot of numbers, but Calgary barely blitzed at all. And now, within a week, you are transitioning to the team that most wants to send extra guys to kill you. I think that's an interesting one to see how Dan Clark talked about. It's more on the center. Cody's talked about, okay, well, he told me I'm going to get hit. I'm curious to see how they're able to deal with 2 dramatically different teams or defenses in a short period of time.
Well, and that's why, in both instances, the run game is so important. It was important against Calgary, and now it's important here, right? You want to keep yourself out of trouble in a blitz situation, be in 2nd and 4, 2nd and 5, right? The minute you're in 2nd and 7 plus against a blitz situation, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Here, they're able to get some success on the ground. Hey, it might work out because, and it might get them out of that blitz, right? If I'm 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4 a ton as a defensive coordinator, I'm not sitting there thinking about blitz, 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 right? So, again, a lot of it is going to be reliant or dependent on how Saskatchewan does up front on the line of scrimmage. It's always like that for this group. And the best thing about that comment is that they've been getting better. Last game against Calgary, that offensive line for the Saskatchewan Roughriders looked a lot better in spots.
Yeah.
Now it's about transitioning and becoming consistent here against a team that's won four in a row.
Just before we go to break, on the running game, and it's, when I say the running game, I'm less thinking of Fajardo, but more of the running back running game with William Powell. Is it more of a problem that they don't necessarily seem committed to it, or more a problem that they don't get a ton out of it when they do? William Powell gets 4.6 yards per carry when they do run it. Is one more troubling the other, or are they both kind of, hey, they're the eighth best team in the league?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, right? Because both sort of situations aren't great. Right, like both situations don't speak well for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I just think that they need to come out and they need to create some consistency.
Yeah.
If the one thing you've missed from Saskatchewan, especially offensively, is consistency all year, right?
Ain't that
they
the
need
truth.
To
yeah.
start putting together consistent efforts, right? Sustained drives. And that's what bothered me. I mean, I think a few games ago when Cody said, oh, well, you know, I don't want to just run 12 play drives and right? No,
after
that's exactly what you want to do. That's exactly what you want to do. You want to wear the opponent out fourth quarter. That you want them hands on hips, bending over, exhausted, right? So we
Daddy
need
likes 75-yard scores, though.
Consist, yes, but that's the thing.
75 yard
those
one
big
play
plays.
Boom.
Yeah, those big plays will come, right? That's the thing, and that's what you get from being consistent. Now, all of a sudden, those big plays start coming, right? With consistency.
Yeah.
So I think that is probably the main underlying sort of factor here that we've seen it now. They turned a corner at times in that third game in Calgary. Come here, put it out. On tape consistently.
We are 14 minutes from kickoff here in Montreal for Salford Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, SGI, Take Care Out There, and Dos Locos Strawberry Lime Tequila Seltzer. We mentioned the weather conditions, 11 degrees and some spitting rain. The rain keeps getting pushed back in the weather forecast. Hopefully it will not affect the guys too much if it does eventually come. The weather conditions brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. Something that really grinds Luke Mullender's gears. He was fired up last night. Of course, then we got some barbecue in him, and I don't know if he was still as fired up, but we will find out. There's something about this road trip that's Ooh. Really sticking in Mullender's craw. We'll talk about that next on the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network.
Oh.
Stand off. Get loud. Bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the home of the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
11 minutes to kickoff. Riders and Alouettes, 2-6-4 teams waiting. The Riders in their white jerseys and white pants just hanging out outside the locker room waiting for their charge onto the field. Luke, the Riders normally, well, in 2019 is my experience, when they would come east, they would come a couple days ahead of time. Yesterday, they walked through in Regina, then got their stuff together, got a plane, came to Montreal, landed sometime after 8 p.m. And when you heard that, what was your reaction?
Terrible. When I heard that, to me, that was good for 7 points for the Montreal Alouettes.
Really?
Yeah, because guys are creatures of habit. And I don't care how quality the planes are these days, it's still a long way to fly from Regina to Montreal in a direct shot. That's a long flight. And this is a different time zone, right? So unless the Riders had changed their practice time in Regina to 5 o'clock, right, and practice, then it would be manageable. But this team was thrown off of their routine. Their, right? My pregame meal was so important. And it wasn't just because it was steak, right, and potatoes. It was because it was part of the routine that you hammer out.
Right.
Right? So wake up a little bit earlier. Do your walkthrough over here. Get situated, though, in that and let guys stick to their pregame routine. It sounds stupid for people listening, right, that don't really, you know, haven't been in those shoes. But for athletes, the routine is the main thing that you try to stick to and adhere to. And there was a lot of guys on this roster thrown off, completely thrown off. Because if you get in at 8:30, your pregame meal that you're used to having at like 5, right, Now you're like, well, do I still eat it? Right? Do I just make a have a huge pregame meal now tomorrow? Like everything gets thrown off. And that time difference is still something that you have to understand and respect. So again, I think that their travel routine and breaking sort of the routine of the players here, I think that's at least 7 points for the Montreal Alouettes. That's how big it is. This place is difficult. I don't care that there's only 10 people in the stands right now.
Yeah.
This is a difficult building to play in. And Montreal is a different time schedule. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't the right thing to do. And I get it. Right, we're in COVID times, right? You don't want to come 2 days early. That's fine. Again, make the plane take off in the morning. Do all your walkthroughs here. Be in Montreal at a suitable time for guys to stay in their routine. I'm guaranteeing guys were thrown off and were probably took a little bit longer to warm up today. It really affects you.
When you played, this game is 7 o'clock local time. When you played, was your pregame meal this amount of time before the game?
Yeah. It was literally okay. Well, you know what? Get here, or whatever. But I was going to my pregame meal or schedule something between 5 and 6. There was no way I was at 9 o'clock. I'm back in my hotel room by then. My feet are kicked up, right? I'm watching a movie, something, right? I'm not trying to find my pregame meal then. Right, and getting that far beyond, and it's surprising, right, with a guy like Jeremy O'Day. Maybe Jeremy O'Day is just sort of playing the odds there, right, and saying, well, you know what, like, these guys will get over it. But he knows how important that flight to Montreal is and staying in some type of routine out east. Jeremy O'Day understands it, so hopefully he's got, you know, a secret ingredient, or they did something different here to keep these boys on track. But I'm telling you right now, in La Belle Provence, you have to stay on routine. You've got to stay as close to the routine as possible. And this today, I'm guaranteeing you it's going to be worth at least 7 points.
All right, we will keep our eyes peeled for that. McGill, the stadium here at McGill is, it's not the newest stadium in the world. You know how folks explode from the tunnel, bring them out? The Riders explode from the tunnel, lead it from their locker room. Montreal doing that currently. There's smoke, there's stuff. They actually have to walk from their locker room, kind of hide and shimmy against the wall so no one sees them, so they can explode from the tunnel.
So what they do in non-COVID times is, I've been in that locker room, they go out the back, they walk through the fans. It's one of the coolest experiences ever. It's like college. So I would, you know, that was the first home game I was involved in with the Alouettes. We were walking through the fans, everybody giving, obviously you can't do that in COVID time, so this was the makeup measure. But, you know, hey, I feel really blessed today, man. I feel like I played in the perfect time for the Canadian Football League. I played when this stadium was full, when BC was full, when Edmonton was sold out, right? Even Calgary was, you know, and I get it's COVID times, but it's really disappointing across the league to see attendance levels where they're at. And hopefully things turn around for the league. I know we're a gate-based revenue model at this point, so I'm hoping it turns around. I'm glad some fans are here, and I know that in Montreal and Quebec they still have restrictions to their crowds.
Yeah,
right. But I'm hoping it returns, because I really feel blessed, and from when I played right now, I feel like I played during the best time of the Canadian Football League.
The clock here says 6 minutes, just as an update, 6 minutes to kickoff. It doesn't look like it's going to be that way, because the early game, BC and Toronto, in the most unlikely of fashions, is going to overtime. Toronto led 23-21 with 5:31 remaining. BC's semi-reliable kicker Jimmy Camacho came on for a 37-yard attempt. He missed it. It went out for a single, 23-22. They drove down with 3 seconds remaining. Camacho for the win. Missed it wide right, single point, tied the game at 23. That one will go to overtime. We will wait till the end of that game before we begin here. We'll go to break for the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. More from the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.